Yeah, because the model.
10 players? 10 players? Thanks.
Ten players.
10 players, yeah. It's only been a week.
$400 million.
Right.
What is he like? My.
Unless you have a chin strap. Do you have a chin strap?
All bets are off.
I don't know. You have to ask Shlomo. This is beyond my pay grade. You understand? A little light reading there. All right. It hasn't been a good year so far. In general, we can put baseball on the side. It's been a little bit of a tough year. I saw a T-shirt that was a picture of a dumpster with a large fire in it, and it said 2020 on the side. And that pretty much tells you what type of year we've been. Okay, I'd like to discuss the Navi Haggai today. Haggai, it's got English. Haggai is the second shortest of the books. It's not much longer than Ovadia is. People think it's longer because it has a second parak, but neither the parakim all roll that long. Haggai traditionally goes hand in hand with the other two final Nevi'im of Treyasar, and that would be Zechariah and Malachi. Haggai and Zechariah very much were contemporaries, and Malachi pretty much, as we'll see, the same as well. Unlike all of the other Nevi'im who gave Nevuah, telling us that in the event that we don't straighten up, things are going to go really bad, historically, things have already gone bad. We're now talking at the time of after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and now we are discussing the time where we're trying to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. As you will see, the Nevuah of Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi as well is very much intertwined with the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah are the story part, shall we say, of what's going on at the time of the return to Israel. And this is Nevuah part of that. And in order to understand the Nevuah, you have to also understand the story, the history that we're talking about. Because again, this is very different. The final three Nevi'im are very, very different than the first nine, just because the first nine are saying either you clean up your act or the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, or the 10 tribes are going to go into Golus, etc. Now we're getting up and we're saying, well, that's done with. Now, if you want to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, here's what you have to do. Just to give some of the examples of how Haggai, Zechariah, and the Malachi go together, if you look at the first source, is the Gemara in Sota, which tells us, Tanu Rabbanan, Mishamesu, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Nistalka Ruach HaKodesh MeYisrael. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi were the end of prophecy. These are the final prophets, and we will discuss when we discuss Malachi. Malachi sends off with the words, realize that I am the last of the Nevi'im. There'll be one more Navi to come, and that will be Eliyahu HaNavi. right, that I'm going to send you, Elio, he's going to be the next one, but there's going to be a pretty long gap here. They are the final ones, and perhaps we're not going to discuss it tonight, but maybe when we discuss the Chayyur Malachi, we'll discuss why there was a need for these Nevuahs. Why do we have to have a Navi at this point? If the whole purpose of the Navi is to warn the people that if we don't repent, to try to encourage us, things will be very bad, if that is the whole purpose of it, well, why do we need them anymore at this point? And we will mention there are many opinions out there that in order to build a Beis HaMikdash, in order to endow a Beis HaMikdash with holiness, you need certain prerequisites, and one of them would be a Navi. So they were sent down in order to allow for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So these are the final three Nevi'im, not only of Treyasar, but the final three Nevi'im ever. Next, if you look at the Gemara in Megillah, the Gemara in Megillah tells us that they were very much contemporaries. In fact, it says, Meisvei Baruch ben Neriah v'Sroi ben Masya v'Daniel Mordechai Balshan v'Chagei Zechari Malachi kulam nisnabu b'shnashtayim l'Daryavish. That all of these Nevuahs, Chagei Zechari Malachi, were all very much contemporaries. They all gave their Nevuah during the second year of the reign of Daryavish, known as Darius. And also Daniel, Mordechai, Baruch ben Neriah. For Yirmiah, correct. So Yirmiah was at the time of the destruction of the Beis. This isn't not shortly afterwards. It's around 50 years later. I wouldn't call it shortly, but it's reasonably after, I would say, would be the correct statement. Chagei Zechariah Malachi, of course, are very important parts of the Mesorah, of the tradition that gets handed down. We are familiar with the first parak of Pirkei Avos that says Moshe kibel sarah b'sinai b'sarua liyeshua, Yeshua zakenim, zakenim l'neviim, and neviim l'anshe kineses hagadola. That God gave Moses the Torah on Mount Sinai. He comes down and he gives the Torah over to Yeshua. Yeshua gives it over to the elders. The elders give it over to the prophets. And the prophets give it over to the anshe kineses hagadola, right, the members of the great assembly, and that's where Pirkei Avos really begins. And let me tell you a little about the members of the great assembly. That's the idea of it. If you look at the Avos Rav Nosson, which is a similar type of sefer with some differences, it spreads out the Mesorah a little more. And the three dots that you keep on seeing is that there are proof texts that I took out just to make it read easier. And he writes, Yeshua kibo mi Moshe. We agree with that. Moshe got the Torah. He gave it over to Yeshua. Zekenim mi Yeshua. We're still good there. Shoftim kibo mi Zekenim. Now that's an eye-opener because it tells us that Zekenim and the Shoftim are two different people, but not related to us today. Right? Nevi'im kibo mi Shoftim. The Shoftim then gave it over to the Nevi'im. Chagei Zechariah u'Malachi kibru mi'Nevi'im. Right? The Nevi'im, the prophets gave it over to Chagei Zechariah u'Malachi.
That implies
that, they are not Nevi'im. Now again, how are we translating the word Nevi'im? Right? It does mean every prophet, right? Here, Nevi'im clearly is not a description of what the person does, but rather it's a period of time. It's a period of time we're talking about. And it would sound that perhaps the period of the Nevi'im ended with the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, since they came after that point, they are an entire new era. Right? They are the last of the people who had Nevuah, but technically they are not considered Nevi'im. What's the difference? Nothing that comes to mind to me. And then, Anshe Knesset Kedola, Kibru Mechage Zechari Malachi. Right, so the plan is to do Chagei Zechariah Malachi over the next 3 weeks, and then we still have 1 week left. We'll end with Yonah, of course, can't skip Yonah, which means that Sefaniah, Yoel, Nachum, and Habakkuk are going to have to wait for some later date. So the idea being is that these 3 weeks are very much all one package. Dachage, Zacharia, and Malachi, they all go together. They were all the Nevi'im at the time of the return to Zion of Ezra and Nehemiah. And therefore their Nevuah, their prophecy, is different than the prophecy we had up until now. Now, with that in mind, again, with one more, actually, case of Chage, Zechariah, and Malachi would end up together. The Gemara in Megillah tells us that the Targum Yonasan that we have, the translation into Aramaic that appears at the side of the Chumash, right? So obviously, what we are all familiar that the Targum that is most popular on the Chumash is called Targum Unculus. It says, and that's because that came from Unculus Hager. However, the Targum on the Nevi'im, which is the Targum of Yonasan ben Uziel, that also came from Chage, Zechariah, and Malachi. Now, it sounds from here that, you know, Chage is just the, you know, one of the three musketeers here. But just to give you a source, that the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that Chage on his own was also very notable. His notoriety doesn't just come from being able to hang out with Zechariah and Malachi, who wrote longer books. But in fact, the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that there are several halachas that we learn from Chagai HaNavi. And it says, Al meducha zah yoshav Chagai HaNavi. So a rabbi gets up and says, on this stage, Chagai HaNavi sat. He told three important halachas. What Saras Habas Asura? This is, without getting too involved, this is related to if somebody dies without children and the brother has to marry the widow. So if the brother is married, so in the times of the Gemara, not now anymore, you would still do Yibam. You would take a second wife. However, what if the first wife was related to the second wife? So obviously, if they were sisters or the like, then you can't marry two sisters, right? What if they're more distantly related, etc.? So again, this is a halacha. In the case of tzaros, yes.
If they're sisters, does it fall to another next of
kin,
or just can't do it?
So that is one halacha we learn from him. So it depends. That's what the Gemara says. In certain cases, you still have to do chalitza. If depends if it's the reis or the rabban and why it is you're not doing it. Yes. So we're on Chagai now. So right,
we'll go back.
Right. These are all good questions. And again, Yibam in general has a lot of good questions, right? For example, you can't marry your brother's wife. So doesn't every single case of Yibam violate that?
Yeah.
Okay, right, so yeah, it's... not really. Actually, you can't marry your brother's wife even after death. So it's actually the same story. He knows he's a Kohen. So that's one halacha we learn, right? These are all very sweet. Amon umo of ma'aser ma'aser ani b'shvias, right? Produce which grows in the land of Amon and Moab, right? And you harvest it during the sabbatical year of Shemitah, you still have to give ma'aser ani. We're not going to go into these, right? And also, Mekablin, Geirim, Minhar, Karduyim, Minhar, Tarmudim. These are nations that he Paskin are allowed to convert, right? So you see from here that Chagai HaNavi, there are halachas that we learn from him. He on his own had a fair amount of value as well. Of course, we shouldn't think just because he's always hanging out with Zechariah and Malachi, he does not stand on his own. Chagai is actually quoted elsewhere in Tanakh, twice. I give you one of the examples. They're both in the same book, and it's not surprising where they are. They're in the book of Ezra. That when they're writing over the story of what happened when the Jews returned to Israel, so in the fifth and sixth parak, we'll just see it this part of Ezra is written in Aramaic, so it's a little trickier. And it says, His Nabi Chagai Novia, Zacharia Bar Ido Neviaya, Al Yehudoid Bi Yehud Bi Yerushalayim B'Shum Allah Yisrael Aleihom. He gets up, and Ezra mentions that Chagai and Zacharia were prophesizing at this point. Right, so you see from here that Chagai and Zacharia do seem to be very much contemporaries. The simple understanding of the pasuk is that for some reason Chagai comes before Zacharia. Right? Either he started his nevuah a little earlier, maybe he was a little bit older. Right? Unclear, but he does come first. Now, to understand, as we said, to understand the book of Chagai, we have to understand the historical perspective. I give you here the introduction to Chagai from the Living Nach. One is because we've been using the Living Nach straight through. Two, because it's short. But if anyone's really interested in a better, more complete introduction, we have on the shelf from Magid Press a book by Rabbi Chaim Angel on Chagai Zacharia Balachi, and he does an absolutely beautiful job of introducing the historical background that's going on here. I'll do a less good job. I'll give you the highlights. Chagai Zacharia Malachi, the very original name he came up with. You know, there was a contest. Whoever names the book gets a free T-shirt, and that's what they came up with. But it's available in the Eidos Library. Don't take it. I still need it. So... So the basic story is as follows. As you know, we were told through the Nevi'im that the first Golus, the first exile, was going to last 70 years. That was the prediction that was made. And son of a gun, after 70 years of being in existence, miraculously the Babylonian dynasty falls. And this is 52 years after the exile began. And the King Koresh, Cyrus, gives the Jews permission to go back to Israel and to build the Beis HaMikdash. As Yitzhak has been, when Yitzhak, well, we used to have Shalashudis, and Yitzhak used to speak at Shalashudis, right? He oftentimes would hearken back to this idea that the people did not go back en masse. And in fact, far less people than we would have hoped to gone back. Right? Think about the size of the Jewish nation, right? Definitely in the hundreds of thousands. And in toto, we have around 40,000 or so that went back, which is really not an impressive number. And yes, that was arguably that was the same fellow, Cyrus. Right? So he allows the people to go back. Right, if you remember, because again, you have the idea that she was the Queen Esther was not from the Babylonians, but rather she was from the Persians, right, who had taken over from the together with the Medes, had beaten the Babylonians. So now here we are, we go back, and it's not everything they had hoped to be. Their numbers are less than they would have hoped. Their financial state is not great, and they are welcomed by anti-Semites. And as it was, the anti-Semites go and they petition the king, and they stop the building of the Beis HaMikdash for years. And with that, here we are, we're back in Israel, but we're not getting a temple. Right? They don't have permission to build it. They don't have the financial wherewithal to build a temple. And therefore, everything grinds to a stop. Now we are at 18 years later. This is the second year of Dariush. And now, forget about counting the 70 years from the onset of the Babylonian Empire. We're now at the point of 70 years since the exile. So this is really the latest we can get it out. And therefore, it's basically now is the time to do it. And that is what Chagai HaNavi comes to do. Chagai HaNavi's initial nevuah, his initial prophecy is to say, ladies and gentlemen, let's get on with this. right? The time is now. You're living in your houses. You're comfortable. But there's no Beis HaMikdash, and this is wrong. And don't give me excuses. We don't have the money. Don't give me the excuses. It's not looking pretty enough, etc. There are no excuses. Now it's time to build the Beis HaMikdash. So that is, now, since that is the prophecy, it's important that we have that background to know what he's talking about. So, looking at the first pasuk in Haggai, that started at the very beginning, number 8, it's Vishnashtayim ledar yavish hamelech b'chodesh hashishi b'yom echad l'chodesh hayo devar Hashem b'yad Haggai Navi el Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel pachas Yehuda v'al Yoshua ben Yehotzadak ha-Kohen ha-Gadol Levor. So it was in the second year of the reign of Darius, and it was on the first day of the sixth month, right? Haggai goes and he speaks to Zerubbabel, the son of Shaltiel, who was the governor, shall we say, from Yehuda, and to Yoshua ben Yehotzadok, the Kohen Gadol. A few comments just on the first pasuk. One is, as we know, the way that we find out dates in Tanakh is based on what year of the reign of the king. What is clearly different in this pasuk than all the other ones is usually we are given the year of the Jewish king. This is the first time in Tanakh where we're using a calendar based on a king other than a Jewish king. Now, the reason for it is obvious, because there is no Jewish king. But even though it's obvious and there's no other option, it kind of rubs it in a little bit. It makes a statement that this is a prophecy that's being given in exile. The Yerushalmi actually picks up on this. Yes. So this is the introductory pasuk. So again, the narrator is speaking at this point. No. That's Hebrew we're looking at. So the Yerushalmi says, Misha nivna habayis yitzchilo monim lebinyano. From the time that the Beis HaMikdash was built, people started counting from, like, this is the 50th year since the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the 10th, the 130th, right? That became what we were counting from. As it says, Vayihi miketz esrim shana asher bana Shlomo shnei abatim. Right? Not the two Beis HaMikdash, meaning his palace and the Beis HaMikdash. When it was destroyed, they were counting from the time of the destruction, meaning that obviously it wasn't as great as counting for the building, but still we were counting based on our calendar, what happened in Judaism. However, at this point, we've gone down again. As it says, Zuchesko b'chaf hei shana l'goru seinu b'rosh ha-shana b'asor ha-chodesh. Lo zachrim nos ra'asim yischir monim r'malchir sh'nemar b'shnashayim l'dayavish. Right? This is already a step down. When we first go into exile, we're counting our years of exile, meaning that we are still feeling connected to Israel. And therefore, even though we can't count that this is the year that we have, this is so many years we've had the Beis HaMikdash, we're counting from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Our counting is still there. As it would seem that the Jews assimilate, they're no longer counting back based on Jewish history, but now the Navi is actually counting based on the secular history of the country that they're living in. So that's point number one. In terms of what month? So again, what is the sixth month? So there's agreement that the first month is Nisan, and therefore it's Rosh Chodesh Elul. That is when he is speaking. That's when he's giving his nevuah. And he's talking to Zerubbabel and Yehoshua. Who are Zerubbabel and Yehoshua? It's very interesting. Zerubbabel is a grandson of Yehoyachin. Yehoyachin was one of the final kings of Israel before they went into exile. So that means that he is a descendant of Malchus Beis David, right? He is part of the Davidic dynasty. So he potentially, Zerubbabel, if everything works out, is going to be the king. Similarly, Yehoshua ben Yehotzadok is a grandchild of one of the last Kohen Gadols. So we have here set up the possibility of going back to Israel after these 70 years. And then everything's back to normal. We have a Beis HaMikdash, we have Malchus Beis David, we have Kohen Gadol, right? There is the potential, at least in the people's mind, we'll discuss whether it was reasonable or not, that the second coming to Israel was actually potentially the beginning of the Messianic era. Because here Yechaveh is talking to the guy who's got the wherewithal to be the king. And he's talking to the Kohen Gadol. And we're talking about building the Beis HaMikdash, right? That is the hope. The hope is, okay, we've had our exile. 70 years seemed, I'm sure, like a long time, right? Of course, compared to the next exile, it was a walk in the park. But that was the plan. Now, let's look at the nevuah of Haggai, at least the first nevuah. And it says, Vayhi dvar Hashem biyad Haggai navi lemor. Okay, so here's what the prophecy that God gave over to Haggai. It's too long that you sit in your well-established, well-decorated houses, and the Beis HaMikdash lies in ruins. God says, realize what you're doing. Go up there, take some wood, start building it, and trust me, I'll be happy with it. So that's the basic nevuah. Now, what do you think the people did? Whenever we have a nevuah, what always happens? We never listen. This is an exception. They did it. This is one of the only times that a Navi ever says anything and he gets it done. They said, this is what God wants, and this is what the Navi says, let's do it. God says, I support you. So with that, the leaders grab the bull by the horns, everybody follows them, and son of a gun, they start building a Beis HaMikdash. So in fact, unbelievably, there aren't too many cases you can think of in the Navi for sure, where someone gives a Navi and people listen. You know? The only other case that comes to mind is Yonah. And they were Goyim. Right? The Jews never listen. So, because of that, right, all of a sudden we're building a Beis HaMikdash. Now the people, as the Navi goes on, it's not a long Navi, the people are getting a little bit upset at the fact that it's not really living up to what the first Beis HaMikdash was. Now, when we learn Malachim, they discuss in great detail the amount of gold, the amount of silver, the amount of bronze, the special stones, right, that were used to build the Beis HaMikdash. And they plain didn't have the money at this point. And there is no way that this second Beis HaMikdash would be anywhere like the glory of the first Beis HaMikdash. Now, besides the fact that they're just not going to do as good of a job, there's also the issue that there's so many things that are missing. For example, the Aron, the most important of all the vessels, the Aron with the Luchos, they did not come back for the second temple. The Urim V'Tumim, right? The breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, that's not working this time. What? Well, no, they have a menorah, they have a shulchan, right? They have a mizbeach. Everyone say they don't have the kelim. They do have the kelim. But the most... That's fine. That's fine. Maybe, right? You know, there's nothing wrong with making exact replicas. But the problem was, you don't have the luchos, you don't have the aron. That's the main part of it. So here we are. Religiously, it's not going to be what it was, right? In terms of its physical beauty, it's not going to be what it is. And even though the people have jumped on the bandwagon and they're doing their best at this point, they realize that it's not going to possibly live up to what they had in the first Beis HaMikdash. With that, Chagai utters what might be his most famous line in number 11, where he says, "Gadol yeh kvod habayis hazeh ha'achron min harishon. Amar Hashem tzvakos, ubamakom hazeh ten shalom num Hashem tzvakos." He said, "Great will be the honor of this house, ha'achron." How do you translate the word ha'achron? The last. Okay, hold on to that. Min harishon, more than the first. Now the question is, how could that be? Well, no, I mean, how can you say it will be greater? We said it's not greater. It wasn't even, right? All the people are saying, well, how can you tell me this is going to be greater? Remember, there are people that were out there that saw the first Beis HaMikdash, right? Somebody who's in their mid-80s now was 15 years old when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Well,
the word Achronon is extraneous, and it would potentially imply that he's not talking about the bayis
so
in front of us, he's talking about Lasid Lovo, the bayis.
So we will discuss the word. Right? Clearly, the word acharon is a very important word for us. Well, again, Chagai is saying right now, right? People are saying, you know, he says he got to do it, so they start doing it, and you know, this, you know, the people are kind of depressed, like you know, we're trying so hard, and we don't have a chance of living up to what it was, and he says, don't worry. Don't worry.
Don't worry about that.
This will be greater than that. So how do you see that? So obviously the different Rishonim, the different commentaries have different approaches. If you look at Rashi in number 12, Rashi says, Gadol yeh Rav Shmuel. That's a machlokes. Chadom v'binyan v'chadom v'bishonim. One says that the building will be greater. And the second one says it will last longer. He says, Shesheni... the years of the first Beis HaMikdash, Arba Meos V'Asr, they lasted for 410 years. Beis HaShena, Arba Meos V'Asrim, the second lasted for 420 years. What does it mean it'll be greater? It means it'll last longer. It might not be as pretty, it might not be as holy, but it's gonna last longer than the first one did. Radak quotes the Sefer of Yosef Ben-Gurion, must be David's brother, and he writes, Ki ha-binyan shebano hordis o'nir be Beis HaMikdash, I guess, o'nir me'olam binyan tovin akamo. So he's saying that, no, actually, that at the time of Herod, there's going to be major shiputzim that take place. There'll be a major upgrade of the Beis HaMikdash. And at that point, it will actually be more beautiful than the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo built. That's opinion number two. The Abarbanel takes a very different approach. Right? The Abarbanel takes the approach that Yitzhak was referring to. So he says, wait a second. He's a little bothered besides everything else. We believe, right? We are praying right now for the third Beis HaMikdash. How can you call the second Beis HaMikdash the Acharon, the final Beis HaMikdash? Doesn't that indicate that that's it? You know, you've had your one, you've had your two. Now, I'm sorry, time to move on. So he says, no. Shagavya covered her bias hazeha acharon, the final base on Migdash, meaning habayis hashlishi, the third base min arishon. He says, what was he saying? He said, listen, I understand. This base on Migdash will not be as beautiful as the first base on Migdash. But this is all part of history. And historically, you can't get to three until you go through two. You can't go from one to three. So he's telling him that even though, yes, at this point in history, you are the bias will not be as beautiful as the first, but a bias acharon, that which you're paving the way for, that will be even greater than the first one. So that's what he's telling them. Like, don't worry that this one's not that beautiful. It's a historic necessity. You do what you have to do. And therefore, he's actually referring to the third Beis HaMikdash. So he said that better achon habayis ha-shlishi min harishon she'asa shlomo v'makom hazeh shehu Yerushalayim etein ol shoah v'lo yishma chama shod v'sheva v'gvura. And that point, in the time of the third Beis HaMikdash, there'll be absolute peace in Jerusalem. You don't have to worry about the anti-Semites that are running after you. V'hine amar b'remiza habayis hazeh lefi she'ba'osa makom she'bana shlomo as habayis Sham banu bayis sheni v'sham yivna bayis ha'achron v'asa lavo. Now, the Abai Ben El realizes that their weakness isn't what he's saying. For example, if you look back at number 11 at the Pasuk, he doesn't say, Godol Yaakov v'rabayis ha'achron min harishon. He says, hazeh, this final one is better than the rishon. Right? So he says, so therefore, that very much sounds like he's not prophesizing about something far off. Look at the context. He's talking about this. He said, no, by hazeh, this he means that the one that is right now in this place, the bias that's being built on the same Har HaBayis that the first one was being built, right? So too the third one will be also, hazeh will also be here. Simple understanding? No, not at all. So you know, that's a problem. There's a problem in this pasuk because if you're telling me that it refers to the second Beis HaMikdash, it never really happened with the second Beis HaMikdash. You can say maybe in 100, maybe the time of Chashmonaim, maybe at the time of Hordus, maybe it was, but it doesn't sound that way. And just it lasted longer. That's gadol. It's also not that acceptable. On the other hand, to say it's referring to the third Beis HaMikdash, it says hazeh. The Malbim, therefore, makes a very interesting statement. And in fact, Rabbi Angel uses this, you know, as sort of an introduction to the entire of the understanding of Chagai. The Gemara in Bracha says, Amru Chachamim Ru'uyim Hayu Yisrael Le'asos Lehem Neis B'Yimei Ezra K'derach Shenasa Lehem B'Yimei Yoshua B'Nun Ela Shegara Machet. The second entrance into Eretz Yisrael was very much a trudge. They came over, they had financial problems, they had political problems, etc. You compare that, that's very different to when Yehoshua came in and miraculously the Jordan split, and then they Joshua fought the Battle of the Jericho and the walls came a tumbling down. Well, again, you would imagine that coming back with permission would be better, right? Here, they have to fight all these wars. Yeshua had to fight. So the Gemara says that really it could have been miraculous here also, but the people were just not deserving. The Malbim, in his introduction to Chagai, says that's kind of the story here. The story is Chagai is talking about what could have been, what the potential is at this point, but unfortunately, it did not live up to the potential. According to the Malbim, it could have been the final one. It could have been that they would have come in, and Zerubbabel would have been the Melech HaMashiach, and Yehoshua ben Yehotzadok would have been the Kohen Gadol. And the bias Sheni would have been the final Beis HaMikdash. There was that potential there. And that's what he's talking about. He was saying that, you know, this could be the final Beis HaMikdash. This could be greater than the first Beis HaMikdash. If you pull this off. If they totally repented, and if there's, Yitzhak pointed out, points out on a weekly basis, had they all come back, as they should have. At this point in history, as they were building the Beis HaMikdash, there still was potential that this would be the Messianic era, that this would be the final Beis HaMikdash. And that's what Haggai is telling them. And this is why God brought back the prophecy. To tell the people, you've got this chance here. They were saying, come on, build it. Right? Build it. If you build it. So that's what they're saying. If you build it and you people act the way you're supposed to act, this is the time where you can make this happen. He said, once they didn't live up to their potential, it had to be temporary. It had to be temporary. The Romans were going to come eventually and wipe it out. I said, the Malbim very much takes a middle approach. It's not referring to the third Beis HaMikdash, and it's not referring to what happened, but rather Haggai is talking to the people and saying, look at the potential of the time, which is a fact. When you look at the Nevuah in that light, you wonder if 1948 falls in there also. Is 1948 potential which we may or may not live up to? Right? Is God once again historically giving us a window of opportunity? And if we take advantage of the window of opportunity, then in fact it will be Reishis Smichas Gvul Aseinu. However, it also there's a possibility, just like at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, because not enough people came back, because the people who came back didn't act the way they were supposed to act, it was an opportunity that was ultimately lost. Yes, we had hundreds of years of a Beis HaMikdash, but not a Beis HaMikdash that in any way even lived up to the first Beis HaMikdash, little less up to the potential of the Messianic Beis HaMikdash. The Rashba has a very important tshuva here. Interesting. He writes in the tshuva, he said, no one asks me this question, but I want to tell you what I did today. It wasn't today. So the Rashba writes, Lamed es b'nei Yehuda l'hashiv amarem imrei emes because of Yosher Yasha be'enai l'chtov l'fnechem al He said, recently I had a dispute where I had to defend Judaism. I just want you to know what my answers were in this dispute. So if any of you are approached by a missionary or the like, the Rashba says, here's what you should answer. One of the Arabic scholars, Moleh Haznayim B'Dvarav, and he had all these things to say to prove Judaism wrong. But Martim Loma Lachem Tshuva Al-Dvarav. So he said, now you have to respond. Al-Kain Ra'isi Lichto B'Sefer Asher Nizvakech. This is one of the Vikuchim, the disputes. Imi Be'echa Mechachmeyem Ba'osim Ad-Dvarav V'yoser Mehemo B'Domer Masher Shmatim. I'm going to tell you what I said, because I'm sure you hear this all the time. The Yerusha Rishon Vishniya Yeshram Vashnichus Emohem. They accept that there was a first Beis HaMikdash, they accept that there was a second Beis HaMikdash, but they deny that there's going to be a third. V'asad Rav Nechem D'Achetzorah Masher Asa Acholek Olenu Iker V'Iker Divrei Tshuva. He says, I'll give you the rundown. Now I'm only giving you here, this is only part of a tshuva, not that long, but I'm only just going to discuss the part which is most important, and that is related to us. I asked you, how do you translate the word acharon? And you said, final, final, last, right? So the question that was raised is, here Chagai HaNavi gets up, referring to the second Beis HaMikdash. He says, Godol Yiyeh HaBayis HaZeh HaAcharon Min HaRishon. This final Beis HaMikdash, which was clearly the second one he's referring to, unless you're going to go with the Abarbanel, it's going to be greater than the first. He said, so Chagai HaNavi said that this is the last one. So how can you go against them all? Chazer v'alai mitzad acher v'omar, hinei ha-kosev omar, she'ein bayis acher ha-bayis ha-shini, she'kein kosev godol yiyah kosev ha-bayis ha-zeh ha-acher min ha-rishon. Hinei she'karo acheron, v'mish acher ha-acher lo'yikro zeh acheron. If there's something else, you can't call it the last one. So the Radak points out that you don't know how to translate. Amarti lo'karo acheron ha-litztarif el ha-rishon. The word acheron doesn't mean the last one. It means the next one. It means acharon. It comes acher. It comes after the one beforehand. He said, and I can give you proofs from the Torah. He said, for example, in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov presents the various wives, it says as follows. Vayasem asashmachu se'aldeim rishona. First, Bilhah and Zilpah, their children. Then Leah and her children were acharonim. And then Vesroch was Yosef acharonim. But wait a second. They just called Leah the acharon. How can you have Rachel afterwards if acharon means last? He called Leah Yodah acharonim. Alpha Bisha Rachel and Yosef acharonim lahem. They said the word acharon doesn't mean last. It means the next. It comes acher, the one before. So therefore he says, Ella, Shekram Achronim Besofa Shvach Zilodeim. First came Bilhah and Zilpah, then Achareim, but the Acharonim are Leah and their children, and then Acharonim, right? Clearly, Leah wasn't the last. So that's one proof. He says, Amar Zeh B'dibur B'nei Adam Sheinim Yodim V'lo Yibiyodim Iha Ichor Avo B'dibur Enavi Shadeh Emes Lo Yavo. He said, come on. A Navi would never use the word Achron like that. Clearly, whoever wrote Bereishis wasn't the Navi. So he said, get out of here. Marty Yavo feel b'mashim of a Navi mipi agvura. He said, even God will say that. Where do we see that? Shekein Kasov, b'mashim Amar hu yisal Moshe. When Moshe gets sent to Paro, God himself says, hara imro yaminu lo yishmu l'kol ha'os harishon v'aminu l'kol ha'os ha'achron. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro, he brings three signs, right? He turns water into blood. Hand becomes, gets tzaras. What? It says that there? It says it there? I'm in Shmos. Again, I think in that case, Achron means last, referring to God. Right. I think that's clearly that. I don't think that they're saying that there's someone comes after God. So he says, if you don't listen to the kol osa rishon, v'amin lo kol ha osa Achron. So if you don't listen to the first thing, listen to the Achron. And if he doesn't listen to that one, well, kachta gami me'ayor. Then you turn the water to blood. So he sees there that there'll be a Rishon, a first sign, an Acheron, and then one after that. Hinesha Kerl Osa Sheni Acheron Afa Pishaba Osaba Osamayim. Even though that there was something afterwards, so the Rashba says that the word Acheron here is very important to note. The word Acheron does not mean final, it doesn't mean last, but the word Acheron means next. That's what he's referring to. Therefore, you don't have to follow the Abarbanel. Right? There's no reason to assume that Acheron means last. But you see here, twice in the Chumash, the word Acheron does not mean last. Very interesting. I just threw in here. I wasn't sure who said this. This is a vort I heard many years ago. And I found it quoted online from the Chasam Sofer. So he writes as follows. He said, "Kshe Chasam Sofer nid mili." When the Chasam Sofer, I think, very helpful. Hayo yaled, shalu osas akusha haba. Believe it or not, they asked the Chasam Sofer as a kid the same question. Hanavi chagom agod yakovet habayis hazeh achor min arishon lefi pepshat hu medaber al beis hamikdash hasheni. Lefi zeh beis hamikdash hasheni hu achron. So they asked this question to the Chasam Sofer when he was a kid. Una, Hashem Abayel Moshe gives the second answer. Im lo yishmol kol ha'os ha'rishon, v'min lo kol ha'os ha'achron, v'ho yim lo yaminu gam l'shnei ha'os ha'era, v'akach to mimei ha'yor v'shafach to ha'yabosha, v'ho yiladom ha'yaboshas. So he said, Apostle Zeh, mochiach she'esh k'shekosav ha'achron. You see from here, when the word achron is used, it doesn't mean it's the final one. So again, that's exactly what the Rashba said in the second answer. But now the Chasam Sofer adds a sharp line. The Siyam Chasam Sofer says, "Ha'os Hashlishi Azeh Hadam Hu Yachem Os Yerov Gaim Abayshis Ha'ya Hadam Lachem Os Harabakim." It says later on by Makas Bechoros, when they put the blood on the lintel and then the doorpost, right? It says that the Haya Adam, the Dam, the blood will be a sign on the house. Now, literally, it means that the blood will be a sign on the house to know to pass over it during the time of Makas Bechoros. But he did it in a midrashic, in a figurative. Okay. Wasn't the word I was looking for. I'll come up with it. Right? He came up and he said as follows. He says in a homiletic, right? He got up and he says that the dam, the blood of the third, that is a sign al habatim on the base of Migdash that this is not the final one, right? So those are the final words that he says. That in fact, that since we read it in that way, since we read the Haya Hadam Laos, right? That in fact, it's the word here does not mean Acheron. So again, Chagai is a very simple. There's one other part of Chagai which I did not deal with. Where Chagai asks the Kohanim some halachic questions. The Gemara says they got one right, they get one wrong. That's when you learn the book of Chagai, you can look into that and see what that is. But again, but this is the main idea. The main idea is Chagai just encouraging the people, build the Beis HaMikdash. Don't worry that the government's in your way. Don't worry that the neighbors are in your way. Don't worry that there are financial problems. You build it, it'll work out.
So have they just lost heart? Are they depressed? I mean,